to form a more perfect union. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, hello, everybody. How hello, are you Vicky. Doing?
Very doing good. Great, Vicky.
At the table today, we got our great attorney, Andy Titelman, and we have Christopher Scott joining us at the table to help give us some insight into whatever subjects we come up with today. Indeed. And I do believe we have on the line our fearless leader, Stan Casascio. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Vicky, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You got Chris there?
Absolutely. And Andy also.
And oh, my God. The three
See,
of you
it takes out. Two men to fill your spot.
No, it takes two men to balance Vicky out. That's what we were talking about before we went on.
You're sweet.
That's so true. So I'm down here in Cocoa Beach with the grandkids who just left for a little bit. And the sun came out. As soon as the show came on, the sun came out, and I figured, well, let me call in and see if the gang's all there.
Good indicator.
Yeah. So an exciting night last night. In the middle of the night, the whole house started shaking, and Diane says to me, is that an earthquake? I said, I don't think they have earthquakes in Florida. And there's no trains because we're right on the canal. It must be a rocket launch. And Elon Musk was again launching his SpaceX rocket last night, and even though it's 14 miles away, the whole house shook.
Wow!
From this rocket going off, to give you an idea how powerful these things are. So,
incredible.
Anyhow, so that's where I am. So you got a great show planned, Chris. So just keep me on hold. I'll listen in. Take it away. Break a leg, as they say. You're on.
Go for it.
Well, I don't know. You look around the world right now and everything going on, it seems like the world's hotter than a Thanksgiving fried turkey. Is it me, or am I seeing things burn around us?
If you can afford the turkey, given the inflation, and there's a lot of people out there that are having a hard time. And, of course, with all the bird flu going around, they've killed millions of turkeys and chickens. And I've often wondered, why can't we just cook them and eat them, even if they have the flu? And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well,
did they get the jab?
Listen,
that's all I want to find out. And by the way, it's very apropos because we got a turkey in the White House. So what the heck?
Maybe that's the whole plan, because you can't afford to buy it. You can't afford to cook it. You can't afford to have people over.
Well, yesterday
and you can't drive there.
That's true.
It's so expensive.
Well, yesterday, I even bypassed the turkey, bought a chicken, and made chicken noodle soup yesterday.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nothing like a good cup of soup on a cold
absolutely.
Day. It was cold yesterday.
Yep.
What else is going on? Ukraine's turning into a humanitarian crisis, but you don't see any calls for humanitarian aid.
No, just more weapons.
More weapons and more money. Isn't that interesting? We're going to talk about that little tangled web a little bit. The flow of money and the latest, newest Madoff scheme. Under a new name, but same old scheme. But across the globe, you see these problems. You know, there's a story going on. It's going to tie in with another topic I hope to talk about a little bit. Brazil is on fire as well. Bolsonaro did file to object to that election. There's some level of involvement from the military. I say all this not really knowing what the details are, because the media doesn't want to cover it, among many other things going on, right?
No, the only way you see it is through social media and how many people are rising up and heading to their capital to say government's just not doing what they're supposed to be doing for the people.
And you know what I'm told?
Hey,
I'm told that
Chris,
election machines are the same election machines that we have here.
Actually, the software that we use was developed in Brazil, and it's how they helped us get to the point where we are now on par with every third world nation that there is. And voting, you might as well, you know, I don't want to say it, but we're getting to the point where you have to say, why do I continue to vote? And my answer is that stopping is what they want. So I'm going to continue to vote no matter how they manipulate the system as my protest against it, while I help try to fight the war for free and fair elections going forward.
You don't want a situation where they say, look, nobody even showed up.
Exactly. And they're trying to demoralize us.
Indeed.
And I refuse to let that happen.
I'm with you 100%. What were you going to say, Stan?
Hey, Chris, did we play the clip from Ronald Reagan? Because did they play the clip yet?
No,
from Ronald
let's
Reagan?
Hear the Ronald Reagan clip.
I think that that's a perfect lead-in. You got to remember, this speech occurred in 1964, I believe. So listen to the words of Ronald Reagan as he spoke in 1964.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the anthill of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
That clip seems to sum up everything that we're looking at tonight.
1964, that's almost, what, 20 years before he became president.
Indeed.
Yep. And that's so apropos today. And if you think about that, and that's the constant fight that human beings, humanity has had since humans walked this earth and tried to form a government. We've always wrestled with it. And America, with its flaws and everything else, and we know all about the flaws, but we've always been self-correcting. We've always got above it, and we've got through those tough times. And that's what makes us unique. All these different people living together in this country, different personalities, different religions, and everything else, for a betterment of a society with freedom, it's absolutely amazing. And Reagan is so right on point. And those people who have the most to gain and give us this stuff, from the leftist, political, liberal elitists who live in these rich houses and everything else like that, like the Biden family, with all the money they've made from being politicians over the years, to the rhinos in the Republican parties like McConnell and everybody else, they are letting this all slip away because they have no courage and no guts to do what's right. They have no integrity, no honor. And when they swear to uphold the Constitution, they totally have no integrity whatsoever. They don't care about it. That's what I'd like to say. So I'm sure you got three things to say.
Well, you know, one thing that Reagan understood very well was legacy. And, you know, we're on the eve of Thanksgiving here. There's a lot to be thankful for. And, for me at this point in my life, one of the ways I feel is important to express that is the legacy that we leave for our children.
Well, we've messed it up for the generations following behind us, but we have to understand why this is happening, how it's happening, and where we fit in. Too many people who are in the Patriot fight with us, we're very quick to point fingers and blame, and we want to blame our Democrat friends, and we want to blame liberalism. And none of that is fair or accurate. We actually have to own up to the fact that it happened on our watch and it went right by us. Perfect example is what we learned when COVID attacked and the effect it had on schools. And we saw what they were the government schools, what they were teaching our children. And we were astonished by it. And now we have a time when they support a five-year-old's choice about what their gender should be, and God forbid the parent rebel against that, because that's going to be a crime pretty soon.
No doubt. You know, there was a video that I saw the other day, which was, it was on LinkedIn. It was more geared towards a professional audience. And there was a gentleman complaining about some personnel issues, and he was going to kind of, you know, looking for advice and ways to crack the whip, so to speak. And so the coach or the consultant responding to this, he said, you don't want to do that. And he said, let me tell you something. We went through a period in this country where we went through the Industrial Revolution, right? And there was people had a lot of loyalty to their jobs then because they had to. They had no other choice. They had to, you know, to suffer through these incredible hardships working in mines and factories under conditions that we really couldn't believe today. It wasn't that there was so much loyalty. There was just no other choice.
It was necessity.
Out of necessity. And people wanted what? A legacy. They wanted something better for their children. That was our grandparents and great-grandparents. And then we got through the Industrial Revolution, and then came the information age. And I remember good people like my father, who wanted the best for me, would say things like, work with your brains, not your brawn, and work smarter, not harder. And he wanted me to live a better life. He worked on a framing crew and busted his butt on a farm as a kid. And I had it a lot better than he did. I really did. And my children would have had it a lot better than me. And now, he said, we've moved beyond the information age, and we're now in the social age, where people don't like what the employers are doing. They're just going to walk away and leave. If they even have a job. But looking at that from a political and social perspective, first of all, I think this social revolution that we're early into has been a big failure right out of the gate. It's like the unsocial revolution to me. And I think one of the best examples, and to your point about the parties and going up and down versus left and right, the whole system has so lost its way that it's producing these results that defy any level of basic common sense. Case in point, teaching five-year-olds about transgenderism.
It's insane.
There's nobody that agrees with this.
It's insane.
There's no Christian. There's no sensible Jewish person. There's Muslim groups speaking out against it. There's incredible unity on this topic that it is not appropriate to teach children this kind of material.
But where are the clergy from the mainstream religions? You don't see the Catholic priests standing up. Some do on an individual basis, but the church itself hasn't loudly. In fact, they don't even speak loudly against abortion anymore, almost to the point where they're kind of letting it skate by. And, you know, religious Judaism, same problem. We're not hearing from the high-level clerics, the real religious leaders. And in a way, when someone's
now, wait,
not...
But you are.
How?
Because you're still hearing from the Pope who's buying into the woke rhetoric, and
that's
he's
not
telling
what we
all
hear.
Of his people. But what we have, which is different now than what we had back in the Reagan years, is there is so much social media now where you used to have businesses that would stand up and say, you're fired, that's it, I'm not putting up with this. The only problem is you now have people who have access to these tiny little phones that we carry every single day, that when they get told you're not following the rules that you're supposed to be following, they go on social media, start bashing, which then in turn hurts the business itself, that the business is saying, well, who's going to defend me?
You know,
who's going to stand with me on this?
So they cave in? Is that the answer?
They cave in. Oh, no, they don't cave in. They just become
woke.
They become quiet.
I wish it was quiet. There's too many businesses that are promoting wokeism, like Coca-Cola, all the major brands.
And why are
Disney.
They doing that? I will tell you why they're doing that. They're receiving money from the federal government. They're receiving money from people who they owe things to. Hence is the reason why our politicians are the way that they are. Because if somebody has a particular agenda, they are going to put money into it. That's what's happening in the school systems. The reason that the schools have to follow what they're following is because the federal government put into place, up until the year of 2023 to 2024, they still have to be putting out reports about COVID. They
insane.
Still have to be tracking it in order for them to even get their monies that they applied for a year ago or 2 years ago.
No, the whole thing is a stupid game. There's no disclosure. There's no transparency.
There is if you look for it.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. They put it out there for those who will dig. Then we don't have a real form or medium. There's no press coverage. So the information's there. So you can't exactly say they're lying, except the public persona they put on it is usually a lie. And then you have social media, which has completely abrogated free speech. And I'm looking at an article about Elon Musk and the Gateway Pundit, and he just took over Twitter, and everyone's saying, oh, that's great, free speech is back, and he just let Trump back on. He's letting a lot of people back on. But the only thing about that that stands out in my mind is, well, we have a guy who's not being as not taking away free speech as much as his predecessor, but everyone's missing the point. He can flick that switch whenever he wants. We have to figure out a way to make the media platforms open to actual free speech so that all points of view are heard. And there's already a precedent for that. The airwaves, the TV stations, the radio stations were public utilities, and people had to be given equal opportunity, equal time, and that no longer exists.
Well, there also was legislation that was passed many years ago when they were first bringing on Google and all of those, that they had protections under the law. And yep. That's why a lot of this stuff is happening, because in order for that industry to go, they went to the politicians and said, we need this legislation to protect us so that if things get said that we aren't necessarily happy with or comes back
they
to bite us.
They couldn't be held responsible for content.
That's what needs to change.
Well, if they're going to be editors, if they're going to keep people out and to block speech, then they should be responsible for the content. Or if they're not editors, then everybody should have a free forum there. But you know what? The government's in it with them. The government contacts Google and Facebook and all the other mainstream social media sites and lets them know what they don't want to hear. And then, of course, anything the government messages, like look at Fauci. He had his retirement press conference, and the minute somebody asked him a serious question,
shut it down.
Yeah, yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme or whatever her name is.
Just to make this point very
you're
simple.
Right. She did.
You know, the left has gone so far left that they've wrapped back around and passed themselves into this warped ideology.
They're
that
using
no
the term democracy. If you watched a lot of the ads, okay, and you sat down, there was a perfect ad where it was Paul Friel who was running. I'm listening to his ad, and I'm going, that sounds like a Republican.
Right.
And then I looked it up, and I started doing research and everything, and I went, he's running on Republican ideologies and the buzzwords that Republicans use. And he got reelected and took out somebody who's been in office for many years who has done good.
No doubt.
And so when you started to watch, that's what triggered me first. And then I started to like really listen to the ads that they were running. And I'm going, they're talking about democracy. Well, of course, anybody who thinks that they're patriotic and who believes in their country and doesn't realize that we're a republic as opposed to a democracy will say, oh, my God, that must be my person.
They have so.
And then because they're at the top of the list, because in Pennsylvania, who's ever in charge and sits out in the big old house out in Harrisburg, they're the first ones listed on all the ballots. So people are probably going, oh, democracy, first name on the thing, done.
When you look at how far convoluted and polluted everything's gotten. You've got a situation where we went through the Industrial Revolution, the Information Age, and now here we are. And so then you've got politicians who make up this emergency that there's going to be a robot takeover, and because of that, we need guaranteed basic income. They're saying this, right? In an age when computers, I was told, were going to replace us, then it was robots are going to replace us, and all this is being peddled, and millions of people are believing it because all these institutions are so polluted, and maybe not on this issue in particular, but you got the church, the education systems, the political organizations all buying into the same warped ideology, selling this idea that we need guaranteed basic income because of the robot takeover while there's a worker shortage. And this is how goofy. Like, and this is not Republican or Democrat. And you know, to the point about, you know, Democrats sounding like conservatives.
So here's the question.
Hold on a minute, Vicky. It's truly up or down, but there's something else that you've missed in the whole equation. And that's FTX, Enron, Soros, all these billionaires. What's his name from Microsoft, Bill Gates. Take a look at where they're giving their money. They sit in these houses guarded by their private security, totally unrelated to anything the regular people are doing. And look where their money is going. And that's what's polluting our political system, our ideology, everything, is dark money coming from countries that don't like us, China. How about the drug cartels? Where do you think some of this dark money's coming from? The drug business, the drug cartels, it's a multi-trillion dollar business worldwide. What are they doing with that money? They wanted those borders open. They wanted those drugs to come in here. And that's why the borders open. They're clearly giving money to politicians. And this is where the people that supposedly represent us, even in a republic that we are, they don't represent us. They represent the interest of the people giving this outlandish
Stan, this is a big
to.
Issue, and I think this is a good segue into this dark money Sam Bankman FTX story. I mean, you literally have criminals investing heavily into our political system, foreigners, criminals. I mean, this is what's really going on, buying huge influence within both parties, to be fair. And
I'm going to preface this by saying you're wrong about that. They give the bulk of their money to Democrats. Very few, unless they're very woke, like Liz Cheney and these other rhino Republicans, they'll give it to them. But the bulk of their money goes to Democrats, for sure. So I take homage when you say it. It's not the case. Has anybody asked Josh Shapiro how much money he got from FTX? 70% of Josh Shapiro's money came from outside the state, as far as I believe I've read somewhere. So he's not representing the people of Pennsylvania.
Stan,
he's a
before
true you... politician.
Of the 2022 midterms, the highest donors for the individual donors in the midterms was George Soros. All his money went to Democrats, $129 million. You had Sam Bankman, which is what you talked about, Chris, $39 million went mostly to Democrats, but also to other places. But the collar that they had listed for him was more of the Democrats. And then after that, the first big donor for the Republican Party donated $70 million, and that was Elizabeth and Richard Alhine.
So, Stan, before you respond, I think we're having too much fun, and we need to ask some of our listeners if they want to call in and join the roundtable here at 888-329-3306. And we'd love to have you join us. This is Open Mic Wednesday because the show's no longer on Friday, and you are listening to Don't Back Down, today being guest hosted by Christopher Scott, who also has the Christopher Scott Show, which can be found at ChristopherScottShow.com, Vicky Lightcap, who is Stan's usual co-host, and me, who I'm here whenever Stan says, you better come to the show, Andy Teitelman.
Thanks for that great introduction. Hey, you know, I want to mention this, too, and I know we're going to hear more about it. The economy's in the tank. Home sales are down. And I would say that, you know, for finances and selling homes, fundamentals matter right now. Homes aren't selling the way they were. And if you want a real professional, you're going to want to talk to Diane Cardano Casaccio, the DianeCardanoTeam.com. You can reach Diane at 215-576-8666. Diane sold my house. I highly recommend her. We'll get a little more information on that
Chris,
later.
She sold it while you were still living there. That was not a good thing.
it turned out well enough. But she sold it so fast.
She's very efficient.
That's true. And we had this is a true story. Three offers all over, more over asking price. This was not at the top of the market the first weekend. We actually developed a problem in that scenario that we had to move quickly to settle. It was incredible, really. The results she got.
We actually have a caller on the line. His name is, it's coming up Buddy, but I guess we'll find out who he really is. Hi, Buddy. How are you?
Buddy, are you there? Harry?
I think I hear he's got the radio up, and he might be a few seconds behind. I hear your voice coming back at us in delay. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's keep going. I mean,
Andy,
I'm having enough.
Andy, what's the basics of this FTX story?
So I follow a fellow named Gerald Celente. He puts out he has a web page, and it's an e-magazine called Trends Journal. I highly recommend this guy because I latched onto him through circulating through the alt media, and he did a fantastic and he's very salty, by the way. So if you look at one of his videos, he is from New York, like I think the Bronx, and he talks like that. But the man is absolutely brilliant. And he called FTX, and, you know, again, this is where you have to get your information because the mainstream media is not providing. The greatest Ponzi scheme in history, and that when the truth finally unfolds, he's probably going to make it look like Madoff was an amateur buildup to this. And what's worse is at least Bernie Madoff avoided the government. He avoided the regulators. He intimidated them when they would come to do an audit. And the guy had all the credibility in the world, right? He was the former, head of the New York Stock Exchange, had all the credibility you could have. Well, FTX, and I forget the guy's name, Victor, you had it. What was the name of the guy who runs FTX?
Sam Bankman,
yeah. He sleeps with the politicians. He gives donations to them. He was even invited to Congress to help write the proposed legislation that would be regulating the e-money, whatever, the digital currencies, while at the same time he's running this incredible Ponzi scheme. And here's the worst part, if this proves true, and I'm not claiming I know this, but there is information out there that tends to demonstrate that it was a money laundering operation for, in some cases, funds that were being sent over to Ukraine that would be put back into the monetary system and find their way into politicians' donations. That's where FTX was generating the money.
And this was not pocket change. This was millions, tens.
And billions.
Wow.
So that's what it was. And this guy is hiding out in the Caribbean now. I don't know why he hasn't been extradited, why there aren't charges against him, why the media is not really covering this.
And how do you know this wasn't planned from the get-go?
I think it was.
Andy, I just sent you a recent article that was in the Daily Caller, and you can open it up. It says, disgraced crypto ex-CEO was plotting to spend nearly $1 billion boosting Democrats reshaping American politics. And they have a whole article about this dark money from this guy. And let me tell you, it's coming from China. It's coming from Russia. It's coming from the drug cartels. And politicians like Biden, Josh Shapiro is a lifelong politician. He does things for people and gets things done. But these are the people, you need term limits, and we need to end dark money in these campaigns. And I fully believe that the movement should be that you run for state office, you cannot accept any money from outside the state.
Ah, but they're going to cry First Amendment on you, Stan. And you know what? I agonize over this myself because you should be able to be heard using your own funds on any topic there is. Here's the problem. Every time we go for disclosure about who's actually supplying the money, they invent a way to circumvent it.
And well, hold on a minute. They're not affecting their First Amendment rights because they can move to Pennsylvania and they can spend their money here and give money to politicians. So we're not ending their First Amendment rights. We're just telling them, hey, listen, you want to spend money, put your money where your mouth is, move to Pennsylvania. Listen, I know Diane Cardano is ready to sell him a house anytime they want.
So Stan, while we're talking about illegal activity and criminals, we are honored to bring on the line Sheriff Bunny, former Delaware County. Was it Delaware County, right? Am I right about that?
Chester County.
Oh,
Chester County.
You know,
oh, my God.
Bunny, do not.
And you're a deputy.
I know, but here's the problem. I was in Delaware County in court yesterday, so I've got Delco on the brain, and we're going to
talk about. No excuse, Andy.
Oh, Bunny, don't shoot me.
Hi, Bunny.
Hi, Vicki. No, Andy, I grew up in Delaware County, actually. I'm a Delco girl at heart, me and Tina Fey and a few other people, but I've been in Chester County now for 33 years.
Well, you believe me, I know where you work. You're a dear friend, and I am so embarrassed. But give us the inside track on Mar-a-Lago. For those who don't know, Bunny was a special guest of President Trump at his Mar-a-Lago announcement last week, and she's going to give us some inside scoop on what took place.
I thought that was something. Bunny, what an honor for you to be down. Vicki, did you get invited down to Mar-a-Lago? I didn't get invited down to
Mar-a-Lago. No, but she's got the inside track on this, so
did you get invited down to Mar-a-Lago? How about Stan?
In fairness, Vicki was there as part of the catering staff. Bunny.
What was on the menu?
Oh, Bunny, please save me and tell us all what you saw down there.
They are terrible. You've got three men there.
I know.
They're brutal. Well, of course, it was certainly an honor to be invited. To be invited not only to Mar-a-Lago, but to be there for what was billed as a special announcement. Of course, everybody anticipated it would be an announcement that Trump was going to run for re-election, but nobody was quite sure. And the room was filled with excitement, energy. A lot of friends of mine, Lynn Patton, Pam Bondi, the former AG of Florida, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, Devin Nunes. I mean, the list goes on and on. What was interesting, though, is everybody was brought in, about 500 people. I think there was seating for about 500 in the ballroom there. And of course, there was standing room only in the back. Probably by the time they filled the room, it was 1,000. But minutes before he entered, and those of you who have been to a Trump rally know this, minutes before the president would enter, they would come, a part of the staff, and put the presidential seal on the front of the podium. And that was, of course, you know, excitement would build and the president was coming. Well, minutes before he entered on the front of the podium, someone came in and put the seal Trump 2024. Well, the room exploded, I will tell you. I had a second row seat, which is pretty cool, but I was sitting next to some of these front row Joes and bikers for Trump. And I'll tell you, nobody would sit down. It was unbelievable excitement because that was the confirmation that that would be the announcement when they put up the seal that said Trump 2024. And that was just minutes before he and his family came in. So to say it was exciting is an understatement. Mar-a-Lago is beautiful. I had never been there. I really did feel it was an honor to be one of the invitees for that event.
Vicki, Sheriff Bunny, you didn't know you were going down for his announcement?
Well, no, I was invited, and apparently the invitations came through email, and for some reason mine got lost. And my good friend Lynn Patton called me, and she said, this was Sunday, and she said, hey, we don't see you on the RSVP list. I said, for what? She said, Tuesday night, the president put you on the list. And she sent me the invitation. I grabbed the plane Tuesday morning and went down and came back Wednesday. So there was some glitch in my receipt of the invitation.
So all those years running from the law, it actually served you well for that, getting down there on time.
Yeah.
And you need a better spam filter.
Yeah. I think that's what happened, actually. I think that's maybe what happened.
You blocked the wrong party. You're supposed to be blocking the Democrats, not the Republicans.
Well, it was nice they followed up and said that, you know, that we see that you haven't RSVP'd, and it was nice they followed up.
So how do you see this campaign going based on the start that you saw? What do you see on the horizon?
Well, I'm a Trump supporter, as you know. And I think there's so many, we could discuss so many things. What bothered me a little bit is that so many people who are Trump supporters were ready when DeSantis won overwhelmingly. And by the way, he's a wonderful governor. He did a great job with COVID in the schools really overwhelmingly, won Florida. But there would be no DeSantis without President Trump. I can remind you of that. But I was a little disappointed as soon as he ran and won overwhelmingly, and it was a great victory, that so many people started peeling off. It was like, here's the new shiny object, and started peeling away from Trump, who, like I said, DeSantis is great, and he beat Charlie Crist. That's no great, you know, feat. He's a good governor. Florida needs him and wants him there. He's an attractive candidate. He reminds me of JFK qualities, you know, good looking, beautiful wife, young children. But he has not proven nationally. He has record on the world economy or on defense. And I really think that people who want anybody but Trump are going to use DeSantis kind of as a weapon. Now, my own personal feeling, and I only speak for myself, I don't think DeSantis will jump in there. I may be wrong. There's a lot of aphrodisiacs, you know, there's a lot of money being offered. I understand that, you know, Mitt Romney, the Lincoln Project, Ted Griffin, everybody working together to try to seduce him with hundreds of millions of dollars. But remember, if they succeed, then Ron DeSantis is owned by them.
Oh, they'll destroy him. He will be making a deal with the devil.
If I can point out one thing, first off, and I know Bonnie will agree with me, and I know a lot of people agree with me, there's no Ron DeSantis unless there's a Donald Trump. Because if you remember, DeSantis won by the skin of his teeth when he first got to be governor. And Ron knows that. And the other thing is, you can see where dark money leads you. It leads you down the path to chaos. So the Romneys, the Rhinos, and everything else, they're trouble. And then the other thing, if DeSantis thinks he's going to come in as a hero, these people who think he's going to come in a hero, the Democrats, the liberals, will destroy him. And Romney should know better than anybody, because if you remember Harry Reid, Romney doesn't pay his taxes. And meanwhile, after the election's over and it was proved that Romney did pay his taxes, Reid said, well, he didn't get elected, did he? So that's the Democrat mind thinking, and that's Rhino mind thinking. It's not about what's good for people. That's all I wanted to add, but you're on.
The other thing is, too, when it comes down to it, Trump already has a federal track record. He already is known across the country. The second thing is DeSantis is known out of, you know, coming out of Florida, and it's not like he did a landslide here. And I think a lot of people need to sit back, take a breath here, because Trump already knows the game that's played. He already knows who the players are. And we need somebody that's going to bring our country back on track again, like it was when he left, when our gas prices were down to $2 and some cents, where now they're close to $4 or $5, depending where you live, and even some places they're higher. And I think people need to start to realize that we need to have somebody who's strong, somebody who hasn't been bought, who has their own money to be able to run for that candidacy, and again, can't be bought.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right, Vicky. Strengthen the economy, energy independence, securing the borders, dealing with foreign leaders. Nobody was stronger. He's proven he did it before, and he can do it again. And here's write this down. American Thinker had a piece on November 9th, and I have it in front of me now. The establishment is trying to divide and conquer MAGA. And let me read two sentences from that. I know that the months ahead will make for some spirited political debate among friends, but I encourage you to cement in your minds the quintessential image of Trump, unbroken and unbowed. Whatever else can be said about the man, and there is plenty, he remains the only leader in our times, unafraid to stand alone. When other self-proclaimed allies run the other way or look somewhere safe to if the weather is approaching a storm, Trump stands inside the tempest, demanding that it give up and surrender. That's something that will forever separate him from those who pretend to be him.
That's great. I like the American Thinker. I'm a big fan. How do you look?
He looks great. First of all, he came in with his family. Barron is like probably 6'4". I mean, Eric is 6', I think, 5 or 6, and Barron is as big. Melania was beautiful. The place went wild when they came in. He looked good. He looked invigorated. He looked energized. I thought his message was good. He didn't dwell on the past. He looked to the future. He talked about what he has accomplished and what he will accomplish again. And his message is always America first, America first. So, and if we don't understand that that's what he's been fighting for, then we're missing the whole picture. And he has given up his life. He said, once again, look, I have an easy life. You know, I have a good life. Look, this is my house. It was funny. Here, you're here in my house, this beautiful Mar-a-Lago. And he said, but I need to do this. I need to fight for you. And this is our election. And he reached out to the audience. This is our election. And he looked great.
So, Bunny, we cannot ignore that there's already a deep rift within the conservative movement. Call it the Republican Party if you want. But I do separate those concepts. And there are fair questions that can be asked about a lot of what happened under President Trump that he has not really addressed or responded to. And he's going to need to do that. But I honestly think that because the lines seem to be drawn with him against DeSantis, and there are people that claim that DeSantis supporters won't turn out for Trump and Trump supporters won't turn out for DeSantis. So if either one of them alone gets the nomination after a bloody,
that's exactly what primary. The Democrats primary. Want to happen.
No, that's true. But if either gets it alone, I think the only answer, to tell you the truth, is if Trump and DeSantis end up running together. And when he called him DeSanctimonious a couple weeks ago, I'm thinking, what is that about? I mean, DeSantis has never attacked Trump. He hasn't even given any implication that he would. So I have to think in terms of—
I'll tell you what I think it's about.
Go ahead.
I think that Trump's promotion, self-promotion style— is classic old school professional wrestling.
Yeah,
and it's a brilliant move. And
he's
so
been
he goes
CEO
and he goes,
forever.
Yeah. Listen, Trump. You know what's happening? The media won't cover him. He's blacklisted. All this stuff, right?
So he throws out a barb that they can't ignore.
Yes, and then they're going to be on the stage together. Don't you worry.
Well, by the way, Bunny, was DeSantis at the event?
No. No, he was not. But I agree with you, Chris. I think it was a shot over the bow. And it was a shot over the bow to let Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, the Lincoln Project, Liz Cheney know that, look, we know you're wooing and pursuing and enticing DeSantis. But honestly, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think DeSantis will run. I think he may just, unless he's really, really seduced by hundreds of millions of dollars. And I don't think he will, because I think politically he'd be better to stand down. Now, I'm not sure they could run a ticket together because they're both from Florida.
That's a good idea, actually.
Party unit, I don't think what state people are from matters so much anymore. I really don't. It's not that DeSantis can draw in a vote that Trump can't get on his own. I think if those two run together, it speaks to party unity. And I think that the sanctimonious a shot across the bow might be a setup for something like that. They're pretending to be separated. They're pretending to have some controversy. Mm-hmm. And then when the time is right, they join forces together. But I will say this, if DeSantis takes up the Romney faction offers and goes with the Rhinos in order to build up the funding for his candidacy, I will find it very difficult to vote for him, even if he did get
the
nomination.
He'll be dead because his whole storyline just falls apart. DeSantis isn't DeSantis.
He's not stupid.
If he's going to be aligned with the Romney,
that's right,
New Republican Project crowd. I don't see that happening. I think the bigger issue for this is whether it was strategic or reactionary, whether it was purposeful or not. I think the bigger question for the electorate, because not everybody's as savvy and plugged into these things as we are, right? Are people tired of that self-promotion style, that bravado?
Times have changed. And if you listen to his last speech, he has, it's like, and Bunny, you could correct me, but I think he's become more presidential.
Yes, I was going to say the same.
In the way that he talks to people now. Yes, he does those sideline things. And yes, to me, when he did that, he was just letting the other people know that he knows what's going on behind the scenes. And then he turns around the very next day and says how great a governor DeSantis is. And yes, he did vote for the man. And yes, he is a good governor for Florida. And let's hope we get many more governors like him. So to me, that wasn't a shot at DeSantis. That was a shot at everybody else and saying, you know what? I know what game you're playing. I am the chess master. And you all are just going to have to get on this board and let's see what Paul's ball.
That may be, and it may be brilliant. Maybe it is what it's making. I would question and say, why wouldn't he just say that, you know, instead of saying what he said?
Is that Trump?
No, it's not. But like you said, is he shifting? I think he is making a shift.
He is.
I agree with everything you said, by the way. I just wonder, you know, we may never know. But Bunny might know.
Look,
because
Bunny,
she's hanging
I'm
out there at Mar-a-Lago
while
we're stuck up here in the freezing cold. You know, Bunny, you're lucky we weren't shoveling snow that day. It was a close call.
Oh, Chris, eat your heart out.
You're down there hobnobbing with the Trump family. It sounds like she was backstage. That's what I wanted to say, huh?
I think, right, and look, if you got to know Donald Trump on a personal level, and Vicky, you're absolutely right. When he's in those rallies or on the stage at rallies, that's the showboat Trump. You know, that's the calling out the fake news. That's pointing people out. That's saying things that the press will pick up. But when you see him in a smaller setting, like was at Mar-a-Lago, with his supporters, his message was very clear and it was on point. And that's the difference. And I've seen him in even smaller settings with meetings with law enforcement and the Roosevelt Room or whatever. There's different Donald Trumps. It's a quiet, focused, attentive person where he'll go around the table and hear what you have to say and look you right in the eye and zero in. That's the quiet Trump. Then there's the rally Trump. And in the middle, I think he hit that sweet spot at this announcement with the way he focused his message on the future. This is what I've done. This is what I'll do again. America first. I liked it.
Well, that sounds interesting.
I have to agree with you, Bunny, because when you and I were running for delegates many, many moons ago, we got to meet him down at Westchester University.
Right.
And I was truly honored because I got to meet the man himself. And it was one of those quick picture things. And I got to tell you, so, that was at the time when, you know, women were supposedly, you know, not happy with him and everything. But with me being a businesswoman and also at the time I was mayor of my town, he said to me, we're taking the picture and he stops and he says, okay, you have to tell me why you are here supporting me. And I basically told him, you know, we need a businessman who actually understands what other small businesses need, because Pennsylvania has a lot of small business and so does my town. And I said, with running my town, and I explained all of that. And people kept trying to interrupt us. And he looked at them and he said, you all will wait. I am talking with her because it's important that I hear what she has to say as a small town mayor and also a business owner. I need to hear this. So you will wait. Just keep here's her phone. Keep taking pictures of her. I'm sure she'll love this. And he just went back and he was intent and listening to what I had to say in representing the people of my community.
That's incredible.
That's who that man is.
That's absolutely.
Story.
And you experienced that. I've experienced it multiple times where he would sit in a room. And Vicky, that was perfect. He wanted to zero in. You're a mayor of a small town. He wanted to hear what you had to say. He will look you right in the eye and he listens.
Yes.
He would go around and he would listen. I remember one of the meetings was, I think there were 10 sheriffs from all over the nation, Kentucky, Illinois, Texas. And he would go to each one and listen intently to what they had to say. And he was focused. He wasn't distracted like there's many politicians that you're talking to them and they're looking in the room to see who the next person is.
Correct.
They can shake hands with or whatever. That's not him.
So
he
Bunny
focuses right in.
Bunny, let me ask you a critical question, because it's the 800-pound gorilla and elephant in the room every time we approach an election. Did he address what he plans to do to overcome the election integrity issues if when he runs now that he's running in 2024? And what did he say he was planning to do to overcome what we all know is a very broken system? And I'm saying it that way to remain polite.
Right. Well, he did not address specifically election integrity, although he does make many references to concerns and questions about the elections and calling those of us that have any question, which I thought we were entitled as citizens, election deniers and so forth. He touched on that. He did not touch specifically. But, you know, Andy, that's really state by state. And I know he must realize, and once again, I'm speaking for me, how important Pennsylvania is, as well as the other states. And remember, these people that want to get rid of the Electoral College and all the system the way it is, I mean, there's more danger ahead with what they want to do. But to answer your question, he did not specifically talk about that, but he does reference those of us who are election deniers, if we dare to have a question.
Well, I think that maybe in Andy's highly educated circles, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. But I think for most of the electorate, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is Trump going to be back on Twitter? Any ideas? What do you say?
I don't know. He's got his own Truth Social now. He may tease a little.
He can do both.
Yeah,
he may. Tease
he's on Gab.
Yeah, he's. I don't follow all of those. I'm old fashioned. On Facebook and but I will tell you this. He is absolutely, when he says America first, you name one of his positions, whether it's trade, whether it's the economy, whether it was the handling of COVID, whether it's schools, whether it's CRT, you can go through the list, energy independence. America first, America first. And I don't think you can find anybody else that takes that position.
That's great. Well, the country needs him. You know, I think he made a point, maybe not directly in that talk, but sometime recently he said, this country can't take two more years of Joe Biden. And yep. I think there's a lot of people beginning to realize that. And maybe it'll take another winter. I don't know.
So she mentioned CRT, Bunny, and I'm not segueing to another topic, but I'm going to inject this into the conversation that we're having. So Mike Pompeo came out recently in a town hall article that Stan just shot over to me, and he declares that Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers Union, and it says his quote, is the most dangerous person in the world. And it's hard, and it has to do with what we were just talking about with CRT and the mind bending. Forget about brainwashing. They are bending our children into something that is unrecognizable from prior generations. And I can't believe what I'm seeing happen. Even with my own daughter, who is in college now, getting educated.
Well, you know what? I can't believe you. It's funny the pinch points that you hit, Andy. You know, the ADL has a huge problem with this guy as their spokesman. You know, he's doing a lot of damage to the organization with these crazy responses that he has to different things.
You talking about Pompeo?
No, I'm talking about
Randy. No, Randy's a woman. That's why I wasn't sure.
Oh, I was talking about Greenblatt for the ADL, the spokesman for the ADL.
But oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, she is a complete woke maniac, and I don't know if she believes what she says, but she advocates for it.
Why don't we
ask
the question what she was doing in Ukraine? What does that have to do with the education of children here in this country? Right? She made a visit to Ukraine recently. I don't know if you're aware of that. Maybe I don't know. Maybe she was helping move the crypto around. Who knows what she was
probably
involved
had a
in.
Suitcase with her, to bring some more of the funding over so it could be brought back here.
Let me just put it this way: it wasn't humanitarian aid she was bringing. Or she was going to learn about the Ukrainian education system.
Now, here's the other crazy thing in this article about Pompeo, and again, it's in Town Hall. It's a November 23rd article. He's toying with the idea of running for president. Had you heard that?
No.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that seems
well,
ludicrous.
Well, he did lose a lot of weight. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he does look good. I got to find out what diet he's on because I think I caught the weight he lost.
I think he might be able to make a better contribution to humanity in teaching people proper nutrition. I would think would be a better move. Just my recommendation.
I want to add one thing. Pompeo was probably one of the best Secretary of State and the head of the CIA. I think he was also. one of the best that we ever had. His ability to really analyze things and think common sense logic was always pretty amazing. Whether he has a chance as president, that I don't know. I'm kind of liking Carrie Lake, myself. She's pretty good. But I want to ask Bunny one other thing. If she had a chance to talk about, I think Trump's position on the jab, he's still very proud of this, bringing this, it's not, I don't call it a vaccine, because if you get it, if you take the vaccine, when you get a vaccine, you're supposed to not get the disease. But when you get the jab, not only can you still get the COVID, you can also transmit it, as opposed to just getting the COVID without the jab. So is he still, I don't know why he's still supporting this, because I don't know if it's going to turn out to be that great. And I think it's going to be a negative for him, myself.
I can't answer that, Stan, because I'm a little confused about that, too. I remember the vaccine, of course, was developed under, when he was president, and it probably saved a lot of lives. But you're right. Some things are very controversial now regarding the effects of the jab. And I don't believe, in fact, I know he didn't touch upon that. But, you know, there's so many forces working against him, anybody but Trump. And what concerns me a little, I mean, they tried Russia, they tried two impeachments, January 6th, now getting his taxes, and now there's a special prosecutor appointed by this Merrick Garland, this guy named Jack Smith, who's a war crimes prosecutor, whose wife produces shows for Michelle Obama. Now, you tell me there's nothing to see there?
Well, at least he's impartial.
Have you ever seen such a situation where there was somebody who was a public enemy number one? And they said we're going to be charging every day.
This guy has been investigated so thoroughly, and when my friends who are Democrats approach me about all of this, I indicate to them if they could have taken him down criminally, they would have. Now they're picking on him for papers that he took from the Oval Office, apparently, to his home. Every single president
you're
done that.
So Rachel Maddow said there's breaking news coming. Would you all agree that he's battle-tested? Would you all agree he's battle-tested for the job?
Oh, yeah. And New York State's after him like crazy. They got multiple investigations that are going to lead to some kind of charges. I'm so sick of hearing about it that I really wish they would start covering the news again. And when Rachel Maddow said breaking news, I think you misunderstood her. She meant broken news, because they broke the news. It's just ridiculous.
Well, yes.
I want to state something unequivocally. Unequivocally, I did not take any papers from Mar-a-Lago.
Did you take the basement tour, Bunny?
Because American justice has been perverted. The DOJ and the FBI have been weaponized. And it's kind of like this, Andy, and you know this because we've had many conversations on other levels. Show me the target and I will find you a crime.
Absolutely.
Show me the target.
Wait. That's the Joseph Stalin method of... that was one of his comments that he made with the show trials and everything. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And Saddam Hussein did the same thing. The mullahs in Iran do the same thing. So it's a form of tyranny to do this. And I read where one of the Democrats says, I hope the Republicans don't go out and do all these investigations. And I'm laughing. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You got a Democrat talking about Republicans
as they're launching a new investigation, Stan. It was hilarious. They're sitting out of one mouth. You could do it on any given day. It's the same story out of one side of their mouth.
If I had been invited to Mar-a-Lago, I would want to go to Ivanka's,
Melania.
Ivanka's closets. I think that would be more interesting than what's in the basement.
So, Stan, we're coming up on the end of the first hour, and they're going to have to go to a station ID. So I just want to remind everyone who's listening, please feel free to call in for the second hour at 888-329-3306. And you are listening to the Don't Back Down show with remote star Stan Casaccio, Vicky Lightcap, Christopher Scott, and Andy Teitelman today.
And Sheriff.
Oh, well,
retired Sheriff Bunny.
retired.
Yes. Born in Delco, but sheriff of Chesco.
That's right. That's right. You got it.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Diane Cardano-Casaccio here with the latest news on the housing market. And if you're thinking of buying or selling a home in 2023, this is for you. With today's changing market and the economic uncertainty, make sure you look at all your options and start talking with a real estate marketer and negotiator like me a little earlier than you think before selling your home. Homes are staying on the market longer. The supply of homes is increasing. Let's get started now and not make a mess when selling your home. We'll sell your home fast with our 3-day guarantee and get your home inspected before going on the market to stop lowball offers. Also, we'll get professional photographer to take beautiful, eye-catching exterior photos, as that's the first picture buyers will see, so you gotta look good. If you're a homeowner, start protecting one of your largest assets. Make sure you're looking good online. Diane Cardano says call me, 215-576-8666, or go to 215-576-8666.com.
And we're back to the Don't Back Down show. If you would like to
before we start, I wanted our producer to play the Rush Limbaugh.
Okay. Can you put Rush Limbaugh on, sir?
Rush on demand just for you, Stan. Pretty amazing, right?
In Baltimore, yeah. Blaming no jobs, blaming poor education, blaming all this cultural rot. And I really was taken aback. I said, well, you guys have been running this show for I don't know how long. I mean, they only have been two white mayors in Baltimore in decades. And both of them were related to Nancy Pelosi, by the way. Thomas L.J.G. D'Alessandro and Thomas J.G. D'Alessandro III or something. Those are the only two white mayors in Baltimore in I don't know how long. Baltimore is 60% black. The police department's run by African Americans. Everything, we got an African American president. Where's all this oppression coming from? Who's doing all this oppressing? That's the one thing that that hasn't changed. It's another thing that hasn't changed. The excuses given, the reasons given for this, and every time there are riots, they are justified by people on the left. That hasn't changed either. There is one thing that could be strikingly different about this circumstance from others, and most notably recently Ferguson, and that is you really have to look hard to find a racial component in this. You don't have a white police chief. You don't have a white mayor. You don't have a white cop that gunned down a supposed innocent young man walking down the street pondering his first days at college. What you have here, we have man-made city warming, if you want to look at it this way. Borrow a little bit from the modern-day global warming meme, Baltimore and Ferguson burn due to man-made liberalism. That's what's on display here. Man-made liberalism, political climate change is destroying America's urban core. Not rising sea levels, not melting glaciers, not hurricanes, none of these things that we've been told are going to be the end of us. Nope, it's man-made liberalism that is destroying America's urban core. Rapid expansion of government at the expense of free markets, private property rights, school choice, intact families, controlled immigration, all that's gone. All that's been thrown out. Other than the rapid expansion of government, has taken place at the expense of free markets, private property rights, school choice, intact families. You know things are bad when the gangs of the city are the ones who come together to negotiate to how to solve the problem. You know you've lost control. And there are elected leaders in Baltimore running around proudly saying that the Crips and the Bloods are going to work today to clean up the mess. Well, then who runs the city? Obviously, the Crips and the Bloods run the city.
What do you think of that?
Unbelievably prescient as usual. And, you know, listen, if they didn't have the racism meme going on now, combined with the nonsense of the climate change, which I love how he turned that into a political climate change, they would have nothing to say. Because if you bring up the real issues that are going on and you try to do something about what's broken in our society, you become a domestic terrorist, you're labeled, and anybody that holds anything resembling traditional values upon which this country was built are considered bigots and racists. It's insane. And Rush put it
even, and just to add, including people like Candace Owens, Alan West, all of the Carson, Dr. Carson, all of these credible black individuals who have attained a certain a level of excellence as conservative, common sense people. Even they're called racists, Uncle Toms, and everything else. You can't win for trying with these people. It's unbelievable.
Worse yet, they've got it so that no matter how accepting you are of people of any background, racial, ethnic, religious, you can't, you are, if you're white, you're automatically a racist because you can't possibly know what it's like to be black. And that is now the definition of racism. And it just doesn't work the other way for some reason. But we are living not just in reverse racism, but in inverted racism. And it's different because we've been turned inside out. This country has done more to overcome its failings and living up to its standards. I watched most of that during my life. I mean, we've been here for 63 years, and we went from clear segregation in the 60s to complete acceptance, where if you are a segregationist, people look at you like you have a problem. And we're never going to get rid of people who are stupid and bigoted, and that's part of having a free society. But now, instead of saying, you've done a great job, American people, let's keep going, let's keep working on it, they turn it back in and on itself. That's why it's inverted. And they brought back the worst parts of the former racism as if it still exists so that they can create dissension and division. It's sick when you think about it.
Well, the way that I kind of took it for the political climate change is the fact it was something that we had talked about earlier. Like, who actually is running things? And it looks like the Liberal Party will start to create an issue, and then they'll bring other people on, because if they need to have a scapegoat, they're going to use, like, the Cribs and whatever that other group was that they were talking about in Baltimore. And they
Crips
create
and the Bloods, right?
The Cribs and the Bloods, that's what it was. And they, like, create this chaos and confusion. And it keeps everybody off kilter because there is no black and white anymore. They're trying to make it all a gray area, which is trying to create this confusion, chaos, because out of chaos, you lose rule.
So, Sheriff Bunny, everybody listening is dying to know, are you still a racist?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think that label has been one recently. I've been called a lot of things.
We're deplorable.
Deplorable. MAGA, ultra MAGA, super ultra MAGA, or whatever I am. I've been called a white supremacist, but never a racist.
You know, there's a lot of good points here that Rush made, and you can certainly resonate with that. You know, every major institution has been polluted. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yes, we did.
Education, healthcare. You can't.
Religion.
Oh my God, doctors. Healthcare is
you can't
awful.
Trust the media. Religion. It's all been very corrupted, and just like Rush, you know, every day screamed from the rooftops. There was a book written by then candidate Donald Trump. I'm not even sure he was a candidate yet. The book was called Time to Get Tough. And in that book, he detailed, he said, look, at best, he said, we got about 8 years left, 10 years max, and this country is going to be gone.
He was
11,
right.
That was 11 years ago.
He was right.
You can't trust the schools. You can't trust your church. You can't trust your doctor. You can't trust the media.
And who funds all that?
And who funds all that? It has to be fixed, no doubt.
It always has been the rule. I mean, in growing up, that was one of the things my grandfather used to say. Just follow the money. You'll see exactly who's in charge when you just follow the money.
Indeed.
And I think it's proving it more and more when you see that the religious synods aren't standing up for the people of their congregation in little local towns. How hard would it have been to stay open, to give people the religion and the hope that they needed to have? Instead, everybody was pushed into their houses and said, deal with this on your own.
I'll tell you what, when the churches that remained closed voluntarily gave up their First Amendment, it's more than a right. That it is set in stone because somebody in government said to be closed. Okay, we all fell for it for the first 2 weeks to bend the curve. You remember? Does anyone even remember the things they were saying to us in March and April 2020?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a letter that I wrote to the school board, and I wish I would have brought it if I would have known this was going to. I didn't send it. My mother-in-law talked me out of it, was concerned about retribution, and which, of course, is not a concern of mine, but my daughter, became a concern. I decided not to send it, but it was absolutely disgusting what was going on, the damage that they were doing to the children in real time, and this is what I say. I mean, I've had to come to peace with it. That issue, I cannot tell you how enraged I was. And, you know, they demonize the parents, and they want to say election deniers and vaccine deniers, and well, because you have questions. Now they want to say, look, let's just put all this behind
us.
Oh,
yeah, they want a free pass, an amnesty.
Let's not hold grudges.
While the troll is giving a speech about why people should still get the shots and keep wearing the useless
masks. You want to sing Kumbaya? Get this bum out of office and put the rightfully elected person in charge, and then we can sing Kumbaya.
This morning, they were even talking about there was some sort of study that came out, and it was, and they didn't tell you who was in this study. This study was not done by a bunch of doctors, but the study was that people feel more comfortable if everybody was masked again.
What people?
Exactly. And so they started asking questions, and right away it was all shut down. Oh, well, this is a study, and it's telling you that, you know, this is what we should be going back to. And they were, like, connecting it to Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
This is another inversion.
Our president said in August the pandemic's over, and yet there's still
inversion. Here's where they, and this is more than backwards. It's inverted. So if you want to wear a mask, I'm okay with you deciding for yourself to wear a mask.
Correct.
But don't you try and make me do it. You're coming down on me because I choose not to. If the damn mask works and you're wearing it, how am I causing you a problem?
Right.
Well, this is where this whole term democracy becomes very important, because they say there was no vote to wear a mask. You say, well, the polls say that most
people. Who cares?
More, exactly. Under the law. That's the difference between a republic and a democracy. And we've given way to groupthink, group rule, and it's become so draconian.
And that's where social media has brought this country to its knees. We don't know how many of these people on social media aren't even people or just bots that they're using to help emphasize some point that they're trying to spread through. And I'll tell you what, the real virus in this country is social media.
Indeed.
That's
indeed.
What's sickening people.
And you see it breaking.
That's also the difference, like we had talked about earlier with, you know, Reagan coming out and making the stand. And now we have it where they can easily go on social media and trash anybody that they want to, and they can say anything that they want to, and there's no repercussions for them saying that.
Let me tell you what I think.
And they can pick and choose what they consider bad, and who is they?
What I think Trump and Republicans need to do, when you stand back and look, Republican, Democrat, ask people, are you happy with your health care? Are you happy? Completely
no.
Happy. And are you happy with the fact that we pay four times more than the next best industrialized countries, right? Paying exorbitant rates on health care. And then are you really satisfied with the service? See, 10 years ago, you'd say we have the finest health care in the world and we pay four times more because we're Americans. And
I used to believe that. Now I'm scared of them.
I don't go to the doctor. I mean, people say you should go to the doctors. I really don't want to.
Why?
To
get sick?
Do you trust the schools? A good percentage of people don't. You pay, and we pay. If you look at the taxes in my school district, It is four times higher than Germantown Academy. What's the other one? I'm drawing a blank.
Well, GA is a big one, and the Abington Friends.
Yeah, all the public school system, and they say, well, it's not apples to apples comparison because they don't have to take disabled people. I'm like, okay, even if you make the adjustment, we're paying a fortune. Our military has become corrupted. Is anybody feeling very confident right now?
No.
In America's safety? So anyone, and some people feel differently about those years, but the point is, we pay 10 times more in military than the next 10 countries combined. We pay four times more in health, whatever the actual numbers are.
What are we getting for it?
What are we getting for it?
If anything,
where's the money going?
Weak. I'll tell you what, I ask people, what changed on the border of Russia and Ukraine from 2020 to 2021 and 22 when they finally invaded? What changed? The only thing, all the same tensions, all the same issues, whatever they are stated to be, the only thing that changed was leadership in the United States.
Correct.
And they sensed weakness, and
correct,
Putin made a move, if you want to buy into any of this. And now, what's next? Well, we just go a little further to the west, and what do we see? China and Taiwan, which is probably soon to be called Taipei again, if things play out the way they did in Ukraine.
Well, indeed, that's why they were saying that it's so important with Ukraine and the war that's going on there. Like, to just dismiss it could affect the rest of the entire world.
But the problem is, to escalate it will affect the rest of the world in ways that are really
correct,
unthinkable. And I mean, they're threatening nuclear war, and they're trying to get us desensitized so that when we hear it, we're not shocked by it, so that if it happens, we're like, oh yeah, they said that was going to happen, and it's normalized. Like all this other insanity, and you know, whether it's transgenderism or the sliding scale of sexuality, you know, you can be X on your Pennsylvania driver's license because you don't want to be M or F. This is insane. I mean, we use these things to identify people. The police need to know what gender somebody is.
I want to speak to Democrats for a second. When you look at how we're, and I want to talk about a local issue a second. You know, the county is sitting on $190 million in rescue funds. There are all kinds of proposals from butterfly gardens to mental health clinics. But do you know that the $190 million sitting there, and the county is raising taxes 8%, which I predicted. Stan remembered, thankfully. Thank you, Stan, for validating that. I said
Stan
it was going to happen.
but hey, he's still on the line.
But here's the bigger issue. One of the richest counties.
I heard that. Just letting you know, I heard that.
This is not a.
And
this
I know.
This is
and,
not
and
a.
Just remember, they did it before the election. They did it after the election, excuse me, raised the taxes. And just think about the senior citizens that are going to be thrown out of their home. Just think about this great school system we have that it's a debacle. And I've often said there's a military-industrial complex, but sure as heck, the most insidious of them all is the educational-industrial complex. We need school choice.
No doubt about it. People are being fooled. And let me just make this point, Stan. One of the wealthiest counties in the country, sitting on $190 million of rescue funds that they had to put up a website asking the public, what
would
you like to do with this money?
I have a great idea. Return it to the taxpayers if you don't have a use for it.
How about buy new voting machines?
You're a radical.
Oh, no machines. Paper and pen. Very cheap solution to that.
You are a radical right-winger giving money back to the taxpayers. I want to suggest a liberal idea. We do not have an operating homeless shelter in Norristown. I think there's one in Pottstown. But
that's because they sold the property.
Sold the property, and now they're going back to the municipality saying, now this is your problem to deal with. The county is just absolving themselves. Let me ask you, where does that fit in with the liberal agenda? I was led to believe that it was the liberals that wanted
not
to help the homeless.
Not in my neighborhood is what they all say.
I thought it was right-wing crazies like you that want to give the tax money back. The liberals will be fighting for them, but they're not getting the homeless shelter. Where's the money going? And I want to make another example. And this is
butterflies need to be taken care of, too.
No wonder our mental health needs more money. I want to make it.
Well, you're making me crazy. I'll tell you that.
Here is the greatest.
Stan, I'm trying to do my best at keeping them separated. I'm just saying.
Hey, you know, tell the truth. He's sitting on my lap.
Let me tell you, this is the perfect metaphor illustration of where our country's headed. You go 6 miles from my house, just 6 miles away, is Kensington, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Kensington, Philadelphia.
I was trying to figure which direction you were going.
Oh my God, it's Zombieland.
I went to my Italian side coming out there. I started talking with my hands. Doesn't work real well on the radio. When you don't know what to say, you just start moving your hands.
He was heading towards Kensington.
Kensington, 6 miles from my house.
It's Zombieland.
The largest, what reportedly the largest open-air drug market in the country.
Yep. Yes.
Listen, you got real problems. And you've got good people from Montgomery County whose kids are down there right now. I know some of them. It's ugly story. It's ugly what
like
goes on.
Like they're on the streets. And...
on the streets.
Wow.
All right. The rehab clinics are full. Rapes. A woman had an acid thrown in her face by her pimp. The drugs. I mean, to me, I don't know how the effect of these drug dealers became at selling that. You know, they paint the people are standing there bent over for hours. Hey, would you like to come join the party?
How much
can I pay you for
this
experience?
There's a video on YouTube that says if you just go on YouTube and you search for Kensington, it will give you minutes.
Yes.
Minutes upon minutes.
It's disgusting.
Of somebody just driving down the road.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Taking
I've seen it.
Pictures on either side. And you're sitting there going,
it is a wasteland.
Nobody thinks this is
okay.
That there's something wrong with
drug
this.
Drug problems, but mental health problems, poverty beyond generational. But you know what you will find in Kensington? This is our liberal political leadership in Philadelphia. Every corner that you go on, every single corner, you may find somebody dead or dying on that corner. But when you look at that corner, you know what you see on every single one? They are completely handicap compliant.
Yes.
Yes,
yes,
they are.
They have been upgraded
the
with grant money from the
there.
Federal government.
Yep.
Because it is important that if you're addicted to drugs, that at least you'll be able to get real. This is the lunacy that we've created, that we have money to fix the corner ramps, that we have money for. We have. You know how many dog parks we have in Montgomery County? They're raising taxes 8%. We don't. Listen, there's a lot of veterans. I have to listen. I would consider.
Yes.
People accuse me of being conservative. Maybe you're more than me. Maybe you're more than me. I don't know. But I do believe that as a civilized society, that there should be a portion of our resources that gets allocated for people who need help.
That is conservatism. There's nothing non-conservative about that.
No, it's even more than that. It's caring about the community that you live in. Caring about the county we live in. When they shut down that area and was selling that property right in the middle of Norristown, mm-hmm. that put so many people out on the streets.
Yes, it's the liberals who are causing this
problem.
They're
the liberals who are causing it.
They're the ones that voted for it,
but
sitting there at a commissioner's meeting.
I want you to know, Mayor Kenney, in one of the few moments where he is accepting a problem in Philadelphia that might be his, is addressing the open market drug sales in Kensington. He is fed up with it because they still haven't found a way to accurately tax the transactions, and they're working on that assiduously now.
Once we go cashless, this won't be a problem anymore. Speaking of which, how about the corrupt DA? Bunny, have you seen that story?
What?
Can we stop Bunny with us?
You mean the Philadelphia defense attorney?
Yeah, Bunny, Brasser? Have you seen that effort to impeach him?
Yes, I've seen that effort. Now, here's a good question, though. Let's say there's an effort or even a vote. You know, part of bringing charges against people are the enforcement of the charges, like a subpoena. If you're served a subpoena, well, if you don't show up, is it going to be enforced? My concern would be, let's say there are charges. What about the enforcement arm? What happens there?
What do you mean?
Who's
going to enforce it against the DA?
Right.
Exactly.
Who's going to enforce it?
Well, if he's guilty in the Senate, and I understand they're putting that together now, he would be removed from office. And I assume if he doesn't voluntarily vacate, then probably the state police would be empowered to go in and remove
him. Well, let me make a comment about that real quick. This is an issue near and dear to my heart. I think that ranks right up there with getting the elections straightened out. I'd say solicitor reform, but there probably needs to be a better name for that. You know, and you know this, Bunny. Under Pennsylvania ethics law, you can pretty much kill the Pope as long as the solicitor okays it. And and you have complete immunity there. And there's no oversight for the solicitor. And Andy, as you know, there's very little oversight with attorneys in general. I actually think that there needs to look at not only some oversight, but better regulation, and probably barring attorneys from holding certain positions, at least for a period of time, because I think it's hard to argue that attorneys don't play or aren't connected to the political process, at least to some degree. But either way, The point, bottom line is, to your point, Bunny, there's nobody to take care of this probably. But exactly. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, you know what the Bunny, before you go, you know what the definition of an attorney actually is? This is from Black's Law Dictionary.
Now, wait, we have an attorney giving us a definition of an attorney. Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm different. I really am. I'm kind of... they would throw me out of the profession if they understood that I actually try to do good for people. So I don't charge a lot when I don't charge at all for some of these efforts that I'm engaged in.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, they might not like me so much if they caught me not charging. That's like, no. So the purpose of an attorney is to protect their client from other members of the profession. And that really says it all.
Wow.
And God forbid you're not represented, because you're dog meat at that point.
And look at what you went through, Bunny, for something trivial.
Wait, could Andy say that again? Because people got to think about this. Say that slowly, Andy, because I think you just hit it right on
now,
the nail.
Now, I wish I invented it, Stan, but I have adopted it. The purpose of what is the job of an attorney? To protect their client from other members of the profession. End of story.
Yeah, and you can take a look. I sent you the article about Catherine Engelbach.
I was just going to bring that up.
and that's a perfect example of how we are destroying this country by putting people in jail who have no business being in jail because they're trying to do the right thing. And I just for everybody for record, and I know Andy does not want to say this, but yesterday he appeared in court, and there's a long way to go yet. But I believe he did an outstanding job vocally talking about the issues with elections today. And I hope, Andy, a little bit later on, you can give people a little update as to your arguments and what the content of your arguments is, because we know we have a long way to go. But I thought you were very cogent and very on point, and your logic was impeccable. So, but Catherine Engelbach, Andy, if you want to tell the story, she finally, the court said, go ahead, you can.
So Catherine Engelbrecht, who is a true American patriot, what is the founder and the leader of True the Vote, and True the Vote as an independent group that's kind of grassroots. I mean, she depends on donations. She has done more single-handedly, with her team, to discover what's going on in the electoral system, where there is cheating, things that are wrong. In fact, Catherine Engelbrecht and True the Vote were behind the movie 2000 Mules, which was produced by Dinesh D'Souza, which only covered one small prong of the overall effort to cheat in our elections. And that was the one where people were dropping votes into the drop boxes, which should not exist. That they should just not exist. That's it's so easy to solve the drop box problem. Get rid of them. But Catherine Engelbrecht and I forget the name of her partner in the effort, they were both put in prison because they refused to. His name is Greg Phillips. Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips were literally put in prison for contempt because they were refusing to give up a confidential source for information that demonstrated voting improper conduct. And instead of dealing with the problem, they were thrown in jail because they wouldn't turn in the person who gave them the information, who apparently was a governmental employee that they were protecting. They were just released, and the appeals court cleared them of contempt.
And just to show how dangerous a politicized, centralized system becomes, here you have a citizen, and you really gave a quick summary of her story. She was a poll watcher or what have you, volunteered and saw what was going on, became concerned, started this whole organization, starts doing this completely grassroots investigation on her own. You don't have to agree with her. The judge might not agree with her. Gets thrown in jail because she won't reveal sources. Meanwhile, you got this corrupt DA down in Philadelphia with victims screaming from the rooftops. He's leaving violent criminals that have been convicted of crimes out of jail, and there's no oversight, nothing being done about it, nobody even speaking out about
it. His new campaign slogan is Krasner for DA, where DA means defense attorney. He doesn't even know what his job is, or maybe the person who really hired him, which is Soros, and the people who help fund Soros and back Soros. He is a Soros district attorney who was put in to create mayhem and to turn, well, no one feels safe going into Philadelphia thanks to Krasner.
Hey, in all fairness, I gotta tell you what he's doing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you a quick story. We'd taken a limo yesterday morning, early in the morning, to the airport, and I'm talking to Mike, who's, first off, he is a Coptic Christian from Egypt, who will tell you about his people being killed and tortured by the, Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt a number of years ago, and one of the reasons why he left. So he's been an immigrant here and brought his family to save their life, basically. I asked him, I said, you've been driving in Philadelphia? And he just says, I hate going in Philadelphia. I got four cars. I don't want them to go in Philadelphia. It is dangerous.
You're taking a big risk.
There,
and if you defend yourself, you could be charged. He'll charge right. you for defending yourself.
Not the criminal who
while he's letting
you.
The criminals out of jail. It's like Stalin 2.0. I don't know how else you would describe it.
I also want to mention one other thing about Catherine. And all of you're familiar with Phyllis Schlafly because you all sit on the board. We hope to be able to honor her with the Citizenship Award in April when we have our Phyllis Schlafly Award both here in Philadelphia area and in the Pittsburgh area, because she is an outstanding citizen, and I would love to honor her partner, too, who was also in jail, because both of them were true patriots standing up for what they believe
American
is right.
American patriots and political prisoners due to a failed liberal leadership. Simple terms for that.
Unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, this is not an easy fight. And those of us who are willing to stand up and take the risk of being known for what we're doing could end up where Catherine ended up, and she is an inspiration. I look up to her, and I've met her on the phone courtesy of Stan. She's worked with us during a lot of people know that I'm affiliated with Audit the Vote PA, and even before that, when Vic Obertoli first discovered some of the anomalies, that there seemed to be names inserted into the voter registration rolls right around the time of an election that mysteriously disappeared afterwards. And if you knew how to dig deep enough, which he does, you could see that those names are like in a reserve list. And it's very strange. And Vico has been watching this. Vico is responsible almost single-handedly for developing the material that Dr. Douglas Frank used to devise the algorithm that is used, that they know how many votes to insert in each, down to the precinct level. It's insane. So Catherine Engelbrecht, Stan brought her onto a call with me and Vico, and this was back in the fall of 2020 as Kathy Barnett was running for the House of Representatives in Montgomery County, 4th District. And Catherine said something I never forgot. She said, yes, you discovered the China cabinet. They keep the good China in there in reserve, and they only bring it out when they need it for those special holidays that we call elections. That has stuck with me ever since, and she was so kind. She helped us understand what we were confronted with, and boy, do they have a data operation at True the Vote. I only wish that we could get all of these good forces, because I have to tell you, there's a lot of shills in the election integrity game that are making it a profession, and they're looking for notoriety, fame. Some make money at it, which is why I have sworn I will never take a dime for the legal services that I do, because I don't want anyone to get confused about why I'm doing it.
That's incredible. That's good, too. Really good.
We should talk a little bit about what happened yesterday, because it's part of a statewide effort. And, I've been directly representing people on a small scale, but I did help to put together the package of materials that people were able to use to file these petitions. And, when we're ready to turn to it, I'm happy to
Let's
to
turn
a little
to
bit.
It. Fill us in on the details, Andy.
So anyone who has had the stomach to read the Pennsylvania election code is probably first most impressed with its incredible complexity, when simplicity would do very well.
Let me just throw this out there. Sorry to interrupt you. You know, as somebody who has worked frequently with municipal codes primarily, I like to say that I've read more state statutes than anybody else. I don't know if that's true, but I've read a lot, and I've read that statute. And
25 PS 3261?
Yes, and it's incredibly difficult to read, incredibly convoluted, and in my opinion, nearly impossible to enforce.
And you have to read. So this is also alternatively known as Section 1701 of the Election Code.
And one more quick point.
Yes.
Who wrote that? What profession?
Unfortunately, it is lawyers who were somehow placed in the legislature.
And I'm not trying to beat you up. Lawyers paid for by the taxpayer, right?
Exactly. Well, they're supposed to be working for us.
And then we're going to have to pay another lawyer to come in and maybe fight to appeal it and fight. And this is why we need solicitor reform.
You can't believe. And I'll tell you what. Some of the petitioners throughout the state, and I have informally, helped them understand what they're doing. Like, there's a bunch of people in the western side of the state. I just could not be there for any hearings that they were having. But the Delco people, they're in my orbit here, and I'm able to, get out there. I spent the better part of the afternoon on Monday. We were supposed to be heard at 3 o'clock. And because of the petition by Greg Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, which is, oh, my God, I'll tell you what. For two people who do not have legal training, they are incredible. Their pleadings were excellent. I got to watch Greg doing the job of a lawyer in a courtroom where everything was pretty much stacked against him. In fairness to the judge, he was very fair. He tried to kind of, point Greg in the right direction, but he's not allowed to try the case for him. And, Greg not knowing all these finer points of the rules, you can get tripped up by the rules. The rules are, it's form over substance all too much. And but watching him, I was extremely impressed with a few things. His preparation was stellar. His knowledge of the law that he was fighting for a temporary restraining order, which is complex injunctive relief on an emergency basis that would hold up. And I think the order's out now. I haven't seen it yet. But that would end up, if it were granted, stopping the certification of the Delaware County vote, which could change the outcome in all of Pennsylvania because they had experts that they brought in. It's huge. And was it covered in the mainstream media?
No.
Not so much.
Actually, as we say here in Philadelphia, huge.
Yeah. Use.
It really
use.
Is.
Huge for the use. So that's kind of an aside, and I was really glad. But because that thing went to almost 8:30, our hearing got bumped to the next morning. So I had to come back.
Oh, my.
It's okay. And again, it turns out that I happen to know for a long time. I didn't realize that the connection, but Bill Martin, who is the solicitor for Delaware County, is a colleague, friend of mine, who I had some dealings with in the past. Nothing but respect for him. He's a first-class person and lawyer, and they had their outside counsel there as well. And we had what I thought was a perfect debate, as it should be, an argument in a court where it was very scholarly, it was academic, it was respectful, it was adamant. I know I was adamant, but the judge did a fantastic – it's Judge Barry Dozer. He did a great job handling the hearing. First of all, when I spoke to the petitioners when we were done and we left, they couldn't tell what side he was on. And I said, that's the sign of an excellent judge.
This is a common pleas judge?
Common pleas court, yeah. And I'm very impressed with the judge. And
cluster in the car.
So he questioned both sides. It was just a great way. We got to say everything we needed to say. And I will tell you what the argument turns on. And unfortunately, the petitioners throughout the state didn't get this kind of respect and treatment. In fact, in one county, the solicitor was threatening them with possible criminal charges.
All right, humid.
Stan, we're hearing you in the background there. You want to put the mute on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. We're not going to let you on the show anymore if you keep doing that.
I think that's a strike.
Well, it's his show.
That's a strike.
It's his show. So we're going to keep him. So I'm going to read this statute, and we're going to hold a test in a few seconds. And obviously, anyone who wants to call in, Sheriff Bunny, you're able to take this test, and obviously Vicky and you, Chris.
Oh my God, I'm having a panic attack right now.
I'm going to ask you.
He left me out. Notice he left me out.
No, Stan, I said your name.
I think he put you in a timeout, Stan. That's
I think so too.
You were naughty.
Don't forget, call in 888-329-3306. Call in.
Yes, please. We would love to have you join the show. So here's what Section 3261, which is also sometimes known as Section 1701, and you can ask me why they would have two names for the same thing later. Okay, except as set forth in Section in subsection A.1, the Court of Common Pleas or a judge thereof. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. The Court of Common Pleas or a judge thereof. I go to court all the time. Without a judge, the court can't do a thing. It's a room. So I'm not even sure what that means.
Andy, I didn't write it.
I'm just sharing with people.
But I think you know who did.
Yes. The Court of Common Pleas or a judge thereof of the county in which any election district is located, and district is not just a district, it's also a precinct, but we'll deal with that later, in which ballots were used, meaning paper ballots, shall open the ballot box of such election district used at any general, municipal, special, or primary election held therein, and here's where the test will be. I'm going to give you the cheat sheet. And cause the entire vote thereof to be correctly counted by persons designated by such court or judge. And here's the kicker. This is what you have to do to get this treatment. If three qualified electors of the election district shall file, as herein after provided, a petition duly verified by them, alleging that upon information which they consider reliable, they believe that fraud or error, although not manifest on the general return of votes made therefrom, was committed in the computation of the votes cast for all offices or for any particular office or offices in such election district, or in the marking of the ballots or otherwise in connection with such ballots. Now, this next sentence is also part of the test, so listen carefully. It shall not be necessary for the petitioners to specify in their petition the particular act of fraud or error which they believe to have been committed, nor to offer evidence to substantiate the allegations of their petition. So here's part one of the test, and there's more to talk about.
I just want you to know I'm visual, so I have to have it in front of me in order to pass it.
Well, you're already making excuses, but you may pass it by being wrong because wrong is right in this case.
I hate to be the spoiler, but what I'm hearing you say is that a judge has to open every Dropbox.
As long as these criteria I just gave you, which is three qualified electors of the election district.
Who believe that there's fraud.
File a petition that's duly verified. And there's another term of art that doesn't mean what it says here. But we'll get to that later because everything's a minefield. This is a great statute on its face because it says that if you get three qualified electors who will sign, now verified doesn't mean under oath, but it does here. Okay. Sign under oath this petition, the judge shall open the ballot box and cause the entire vote thereof to be correctly counted by persons designated by the judge. Now, what does that mean in terms of how the count will take place?
Well, for me, it means that you're going to go into the courtroom. The judge is going to hear this complaint, verify that it's been properly done, which is pretty simple in this case. And then you would think that upon the filing, they knew this was coming, that they would have made arrangements to have county employees come in right into the courtroom, I would say, to count the
votes.
And
do what?
Count the votes.
Okay, how will they count the votes? So remember, be correctly counted by persons.
By hand.
Oh, okay, because a machine is not a person, is it?
Correct.
So, Vicki, do you agree with what Chris said?
Well, I kind of would see that it's kind of like when they proved Santa Claus existed and they brought all the boxes in from the U.S. federal government post office. I would think that they would have to bring all the boxes from the warehouse in for that particular thing.
You're getting onto another issue. And
that's my interpretation.
I agree with that, but how will these be counted?
By person.
Okay, so if the person is feeding the votes into the machine, is it the person doing the counting?
No, because they're not reviewing the ballot.
All right, Bunny.
Okay,
Bunny,
how far do we go with this? Just to play devil.
I'm going to tell you the outcome.
Okay.
Bunny.
Okay.
What does that mean to you? Correctly counted by persons designated by the judge.
Well, it seems to me that the only way persons could count the vote, persons designated by the judge, would be if they were the paper ballots, not fed into the machine. Correct?
No, they are the paper ballots, but I'm giving you that. That's a freebie.
Hand counted. So they would have to be hand counted. The paper ballots would have to be hand counted, not machine counted.
So if the persons designated by the judge were feeding the ballots into the machines, who or what would be doing the counting in your view?
The machine.
Okay, and a machine is not a person, right?
Correct, correct. That's what I said. Hand-counted paper ballots.
Now, are you a person? No, I'm just joking. That's not part of the quiz.
That wasn't very nice. Right before Thanksgiving.
Bunny is a beautiful woman and the best-looking sheriff Chester County ever had. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Forget about that, Andy. The suspense is killing me. What was the outcome of this?
So the outcome in Delaware County has not been decided, but I will tell you what happened in Lancaster County, which is a case that I was involved in June and is being relied upon by some courts in some of the counties. And I did provide this case to Judge Dozer by his request, but I don't know what he's going to do at this point. I will tell you that there are discussions ongoing with the solicitor that may work out some kind of a beneficial compromise for all parties involved, but even that's ongoing, and we haven't gotten to a conclusion about that at this point. So in Lancaster County, I helped them prepare the petitions. There were multiple petitions, but a candidate for the House of Representatives who would have been against Brian Cutler, who is currently the Pennsylvania House of Representatives Speaker, her name was Ann Weston. She was the only one of the two candidates, and this was my doing because I read verification to mean what it always means, because the rules of civil procedures say you have to use a part of Title 18, which is our criminal code, that says you are, it's the same as taking an oath, you are liable for any misrepresentations or misstatements made to an official. It's almost like it has the same legal effect as taking the oath. And the use of a verification is an easier way to get to an oath because you don't have to go to a notary and get the seal
right,
and all that
which
stuff.
Which is commonplace around the Commonwealth for many things now.
And the rules of civil procedure state that a verification is what I just said to you, doesn't require a notary, and we use them in pleadings all the time. So if you were to file a complaint, you would give me a verification, doesn't need to be notarized, but you're still just as responsible. Guess what? Only in election law, a verification is not actually a verification. It's an affidavit level verification. And this was not done in my case. It was a prior case that I hadn't picked up on back in June when we ran the first series of petitions under 3261. And the court took my order, the proposed order that I had prepared for them, and he crossed out the word hand and said, shall be recounted in accordance with 25 PS section 3261. Now, we just read that section. So it's still meant to me, counted by hand, even though he crossed out counted by hand. Then he appointed the director of elections in Lancaster County, and she went and fed them through a machine. Of course, the machine agreed with itself, and we didn't see any dramatic changes in the...
So let's do a little test for you here.
Yes.
Let's do lawyer logic versus non-lawyer logic. If you're the judge in this case, what would you rule?
You talking about the case in Delaware County?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to say anything. Well, I know what I asked the judge to rule.
Can you speak to that?
And I believe I'm correct in what I asked.
Can you speak to that or no?
Yes. I would like the judge to order... So there were four petitions, therefore four voting districts or precincts, I mean, because these words are sometimes interchangeable, that the ballot boxes be opened and that the judge designate the people to do a by-hand recount and tabulation as opposed to refeeding them through the machines.
So you want it done by hand?
Absolutely. Okay.
You know what I would order if I were the judge?
What?
Both.
That would be totally acceptable. Now, we've already had the machine do it once.
Prove the discrepancy.
Wouldn't that prove? That to me would
That's
be the
exactly
wisdom
right.
of Solomon right there.
Well, we already, no, but we already had the machine count once.
Fair enough.
But I don't mind doing it again. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So the people who are opposing us, sometimes sincerely, sometimes with, I think, less sincerity, feel they ignore the counted by persons part. They rely on a very difficult argument to get there. And by the way, that includes the Commonwealth Court in a non-precedential opinion that was issued after we appealed the Lancaster Court matter. Non-precedential is important. That means they didn't make a ruling that is binding on all other courts. It gives the Common Pleas judges the ability to not agree with that order. So it's kind of like punting. They made a decision only in the Lancaster County case, but it doesn't affect everybody else. but it can be persuasive. So these other courts that are relying on it to cross out the word hand are kind of like going with that, anticipating that maybe the Commonwealth Court will make that the hard law, but they haven't. Now, there's a lot more to the backstory, but I'm going to just cut to the chase. In Lancaster, we did appeal to the to the Commonwealth Court, and they agreed with what the court below did, which was granting the petition. The court below wasn't happy about it. He didn't like that it said shall, and he felt that it might open the door to frivolous petitions. And I guess he was implying that the Weston petition, the petitioners who were filing on behalf of Ann Weston's candidacy, because she was, I don't think she was one of the petitioners. She could have been. But those petitioners were being frivolous. That was the implication. And we, of course, didn't agree with that, but there's some good law that came out of the case, too. Number one, they came up with a different defense this time against these petitions, other than that it has to be done by persons. I'll call it the 1703 defense, which is also 25 PS 3263, because we can't make this easy to understand. It's against the law for the law to be comprehensible. So 3263 starts out pretty good. Any petition to open a ballot box or to re-canvass the votes on a voting machine or an electronic voting system pursuant to Section 1701, which is 3261, and 1702, which is 3262, and applies to machine-only recounts where there are no paper ballots. So it accommodates machines. Remember those ones that used to push the button and you never got a piece of paper and it just recorded it?
Yes.
That's when you get a re-canvass as opposed to a recount. So they separated it for a reason, all right? Shall be filed no later than 5 days after the completion of the computational canvassing of all returns of the county by the county board. If any error or fraud is found, the court shall grant the interested parties an additional 5 days to file petitions requesting additional ballot boxes to be opened or voting machines or electronic voting systems to be re-canvassed. Sounds great, right? Wow. Not if you do find any indications. So clearly, the first section I read to you is designed to make it so it's a very low burden. You just have to have a reasonable belief. And I did cite to the court some of the basis for the petitioners in Delaware County's reasonable belief. And it goes to the information derived by the Lindell team and Dr. Frank and Vico Bertoli and the other people who have done a magnificent job of showing the weaknesses with these machines, that even if they are used honestly, we're coming up to the end. Jeez. So even if they are
so
used.
So let's get a roll in there, sir.
Okay. So the 1703 defense depends on the, they're claiming that if you are going after a statewide office.
All right.
You have to not only get the districts that your petitioners locally have, but you have to get every district affected, or you would have to prove some prima facie case for error or fraud. Now, it does say that, but it doesn't make sense in the context of these petitions. It seems to clearly erase what 1701 says, and there's no court that's really firmly interpreted it.
And not only that, how can they possibly do that when each county in the state of Pennsylvania has their own way of looking at it?
Well, no, it's taking away the rights of the petitioners in any given. How do they know someone in every single district?
I got a solution to
all
this.
That's what I mean.
Right now, we got to go. We got to look to our friends on the capitalist side. Every election should be subject to an audit.
Automatic.
And the simple way to get the dark money out, because like you said, you're never really going to be able to get it. You got to just limit the campaign contributions.
And that's my whole point. It's like, you know, if you really want to restore the confidence of at least the 50% plus people who are no longer confident, why don't you say, yes, we want transparency. We're opening the books for you. We don't have to. We're going to do it anyway.
Tells everything right there.
That's exactly right.
Andy, I have one quick question. Who has physical custody of these boxes? What's the chain of custody been, and who currently has physical custody of these boxes?
So technically the custody of the boxes are in Delaware, it's called the Bureau of Elections. We're with the Board of Elections. There are rules that govern it, and they have to be kept secure. Most of them do it in a county warehouse, under lock and key and surveillance. So there are requirements for that. But Delco has its own issue because there was an intermediary stop, apparently.
Right.
for the V drives and the ballot bag and the ballot bags that no one can explain. They can't explain right. it.
And there were 6 hours where nobody knew what was going on in that building. Am I correct?
Except for the people in the building, and I'm not sure who
correct.
They were.
There was no oversight.
Exactly. And even if nothing wrong happened, the suggestion that it could have is the problem we're dealing with.
Correct.
Guys, here's the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know right now, really. Cranberry sauce on your next-day sandwiches or not?
Absolutely.
Yes, we have one vote.
Oh,
yes.
But I take cranberry and mix it with mayo and then put it on top of the turkey.
No, we couldn't afford
sandwich.
I only deal with fresh cranberries, and because of supply chain issues, we couldn't get them.
Well, pardon me. Sheriff Bunny, what's your vote? Cranberry, the nasty old canned cranberry sauce on that day after sandwich? What's your vote?
Fresh cranberry.
Only for you guys are so fresh. You Chester County people are
fresh.
So
she brought some back from
Florida. I'm Montgomery County and like it fresh.
Well, and we're very snooty out here.
I like it any way I can get it. So if you guys have sandwiches, give me a buzz. I'll be over cranberries or not. What a show.
What a show.
We didn't get to any of the good stuff. We didn't talk about the club shooting. We didn't talk about the border.
Well, we'll save that for next time.
We have a show next week. It's easy. We'll get there.
Next time.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
Happy
buddy.
Thanksgiving,
Happy Thanksgiving,
everybody.
Everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye, Vicky.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.